Thank you. I want to say something and not offend the media. Just I want to link to what you're saying. And I'm not saying it's deliberate, but maybe it helps people. You know, as we follow up on print media and others, you find that whenever this policy does something, they pick up on something as if the catastrophe is alone, hanging alone, without reflecting on the people. I'm not saying that's what but really I'm not saying this from where I sit. I'm sure every member of Parliament, honestly, why I link this with this catastrophe? We feel whatever you express yourself on, it's within the proceedings of this meeting, because if you're out of order, we have to call it to order in the meeting. Now, why I'm raising this, because it is not new that whenever there are bottlenecks, the chairperson becomes a victim. And I'm sure we have to protect it. And why I'm raising this thing is that I want to state exactly the second that maybe in terms of our mandate and how we do things. Because really, you can't be used as little boys and girls who don't know what they are doing here. Or else who is coming here? That, let that workshop come so that it is clarified. And I wanted to say this record. When it took over the literacy, we said, professors, we mandate you to write a letter even to the speaker in terms of the issues that we are making. You can make it respect that, reflect that. Now, there is no way that we try to make a best decision. But in addition to that, I still want to maintain, of course, there's a question I did ask in the meantime. Our researchers linked to the Maculor proposal on notwithstanding this law project. I think there are institutions of learning, like the University of the 15th, I know first creeping is very easy to set up. That you in the meantime also maybe prepare yourself. Try and find out, and then also individually or as a community, we try also to get some information that we have. We are aware that the police, SABC, media, this issue is high on the agenda as well as radio, because in the morning we only speak at the I think you can get into the answer. So that we are in the meantime are able to, you might come up with something better because what they say is, since our arrival here, Maculor does communicate to us as members of Parliament, they do the test. We don't know whether they are starting any of us, but they just do the test, which goes back to what we discussed. And then on the I think we should just be decisive. Because also that thing, it has changed our citizens, our family. All the times that we, but I said even this morning, I didn't know what to say to my sister. So that if there is, let the if to be removed, let them confirm the date, and it's a potential affected community. That, let it come through, and then, yeah, okay.
So, come back to the issue, but I just want to take this apart. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you. Yes, well, I've always been of opinion that if you say something and we disagree with that, we will say so, and if we do so, and then we'll have a discussion, we still get to a decision. By majority, that is a collective, that's fine, but it is the committee decision. Let me just say in terms of the, when I shook my head, why not at the workshop, I want the workshop, I just told you said next Friday, I was just thinking, I would agree, either next Friday or the Friday after that, but I would suggest that we just bear in mind, I presume a letter has been written to the Minister of Finance on that other matter of ours. Requesting him to be here next Friday. we just found out, he said, right on next Friday, you should come and roll out the workshop the second Friday. I don't think we should compromise meeting them in this set just for purposes of our workshop of people around here, in any case. Anyway, in terms of what he says, we didn't mention the figures of the quotes. You did so now with Marty North. The other two, I think the one you found them on and the other one is too combined. Now, I would agree that we should be quite effective, and I would not suggest that we take Marty North stand alone to that. But I don't know if they indicate to you, if you piggyback on the broader survey of Omnibus, what does the quote bring you? I mean, we need to compare that with our lower quotes, well, the lowest quote that we got already. In terms of the survey itself, if the piggybacking and the lower quote are more or less the same, then the time we can get it back should become important to us. If there's still a vast difference in terms of preference in marking or, I don't think that March next year should be such a major problem. There's no cross-cutting period between the next, am I right, is that correct now? There's no cross-cutting period until around about 2010 again, I think. There may be a local government one in 2009, but that doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is if we only get the results of that survey back in March, I don't think we have time pressed not to consider that it's acceptable if money-wise it can be frugal in terms of taxpayers' money.
Madam Chair, very little remains for me to be said. I think that I've been practically covered by what Mr. Swarter said. Yes, I think that from our side you can definitely know that our support will definitely be there for the lowest possible cost factor in terms of this, and particularly the Omnibus particular situation. To me, in terms of this survey, and as the author of this legislation from Mr. Panamaga's side, I can just say that whether it's going to be a 2% or a 3% deviation from the actual position, that's not going to make any material difference, and I would therefore then fully concur with the cheapest possible omnibus situation. With regard to what Mr. Michelou said, I was even not aware of that there was any dispute with regard or any argument with regard to you as the chair. I can just, from our side, just say that we are 100% behind you. What you have said, whatever you have spoken in this House or in this committee, you have spoken on behalf of me and behalf of Mrs. Marston, I'm sure, about everyone else, and I can just give the absolute assurance, if there is, with regard to media, that from this, I think that we are very much at idem in this particular committee, and we appreciate particularly your guidance in terms of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Sir President. I think the first point of departure is to first answer your question on the other research that we've done. Because if we find that the research is okay, then as a consequence, it's not okay. So I would suggest that as a first point of departure, that we first consider that marginal research that was conducted and check whether that research meets our needs. And it does give us direction as to what we want. And if it does not, then we can consider it as a thing.
Okay, and if
you can
come
on,
because of all of them. And one of them went to Ground that I'm touched ground that has never been touched before, hence the antecedent. So I would suggest that you must continue pushing along that line and demanding our rights to ensure what the Constitution expects us to ensure public involvement. I don't know, it will take, I don't know, they must convince us that they are wrong in evolving the public. But I think if as committee, we are parliament, either should send by parliament and actually the Constitution says public involvement on in addition to public participation. And nowhere does it define public involvement or participation to be confined to public members. We can use marketing things that are, you know, so I rest my case. I'm in the second round. She's actually in it. Our new leader, the second round. Our new leader, this is my colleague, comrade and friend, Lorna Malone. This is to be bringing to my committee people that I've worked with for years or past. Lorna, I went to the public service and administration. So, I'm very happy. Welcome, Comrade Lorna.
Thank you.
We look forward to you being a very active member. Our whip was removed.
Okay.
You are not active? There's a fighting on the wall. But I know you'll be active. I know you'll be active.
I'll try my level.
We are safe. We are safe, all of us together. Thank you very much. And
thank you, Chair, for intimidating me. I'm saying it's because of this support that you're giving to me that I keep waiting when you're saying whatever that you're saying.
You know, I'm going to suggest when there is a question to say, can the committee say, do it again? Maybe, I don't know. Because it is our constitutional obligation to be on oversight. And then oversight is one way or the other of doing research, of doing surveys, as to say that public participation is one of them. So I really don't understand what that is. Maybe as to say, maybe for the first time the way that we think has little bit coordinated. So I have you saying you will call them.
It was an outstanding workshop.
Okay. So that we understand exactly what is our intent and what our purpose are.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Anthony Maloney, what's
the part? Jim, I'll go back briefly to the survey. The sample is very important, the size of that sample, the distribution of the sample, the questionnaire. But at the last minute, last meeting, we also felt it was very important to communicate with people in their local language. Whatever is a Xhosa or a Zulu was dominant in that particular area, that the questionnaire be in that language. Now I'm wondering if the assessment of cost that you've been doing there, if that includes translation into local languages. Possibly not. I think it's important when you communicate with Martino that be established. And ethical, whether in fact that might increase the cost, or in fact whether they're prepared to do it. Secondly, with regard to the proposed workshop, in preparation for that workshop, I think we ought to recirculate the minutes and the documentation we were given when some years ago this committee had a workshop. I think the chairperson was Mr. Henderson, if I'm not mistaken. And we had a very successful workshop with parliamentary input and external input. The receipt of the document from UCT. It was very important, I think, because the documentation which we used at that workshop to go through in preparation for the proposed one, proposed internal parliamentary one.
Thank you. I just want to piggyback from the question around the workshop that you should invite or the minister is about to appear before the committee. And you have raised a very important thing about parliament and public involvement. I think that question of, you know, a budget know, for that exercise, because when we are talking about public involvement, that would mean that we need to involve, you know, we need to aid some money, you know, resources in order to do whatever public involvement. So I think that workshop with the Minister of Finance will also help for him to make an understanding of the public participation and also the public involvement, so that, you know, when we ask for more money, when we talk about this thing, then he understands that from what point of view are we discussing that, because we can't just talk of public participation if there are no resources that are available in order for us to achieve that.
South relations. I said to ministers sometime in the week,
where we are next as Parliament to honor that to that basis for government. When we do international studies to strengthen what government is doing in relation to other countries and to also monitor it as Parliament. So it's quite critical that if government says we have an Indian Brazil South Africa relationship, that should be also the nature of the first we undertake like as Parliament to strengthen the relationship and monitor what is happening within the relationship of the 5 million. And if we go in December, still in good time for us to look into the issue of law for the work there, because the exact practice of the model can be educational and also the evidence there in case that is not there. Any other things from your question?
Thank you, Senator. I've received a postcard from the Minister of Landbouw, and their quote is very, very detailed. It's specifically the 11 languages. And the size, and they've actually done they've included a sample size and actually detailed the amount of people that will be surveyed in each specific province. So very one of the best codes that I've seen, but it is quite
expensive.
And then I've also started with the commercial section, specifically around the funding area, and because of the amount of money, they said that because of the amount of money that was being used, the tender process would be more, should be used, not sidestep it, but if the urgency of the information was that was required, you could use a business plan to make it a secretary.
Intimate that it should be next Friday or week after next, if it's the having new days. The minister also pointed out that we have a medium-term budget process, which is apart from going abroad and all, it might be difficult to get to interest there in the future. Maybe what we should do is to do it on the basis of correspondence, or rather not wait for the time, and asking to delegate salary and pension fund, government pension fund, has to, on this behalf, but you said that the medium-term budget processes are also holding
the workshop is for empowerment. I would suggest that they come whoever is to have this, so that by the time whether we decide to take this next week or any other day area, even within, you know, I mean, such presentation can even form a basis in terms of our workshop. Directly has to do with the type of work we have. And also, it should give us more time in terms of assessing or evaluating the outcome of the presentation. Because there are not that we are upfront going to agree with everything. There might be some gaps which is then might form part of the conference.
So, if
you
see all of the
variations,
what is
this
all of? And can I just say that you are not again invited to the political meeting, as well as you visited the outside to meet today? You have to keep records of. Tomorrow people will take up the spot and do it, not consult them, not invite them, and you will have nothing to make up to cover ourselves up. So this telephonic invitation, do not wait, because I also got a proof of when were they contacting me. This is the telephone call. So I sincerely wish that today you will write them some interview in the second day, so that you can invite them for next week. And if you invite them in writing, not telephonically, you must check this, as all of them are seeing what is the book, and all of them who are in front of you.
Sure, yes. It's just something of
we need to be inclusive. I just wonder if we maybe not going a bit wayward with this, for being a very specific thing. If you look at the presentation that I proposed last week, and what this is about, it's very difficult for me to, and I really don't want to intrude on somebody else to ask, and I'm trying to keep my words very carefully. It's very difficult for me to think for a moment that let's say the Jewish judicial board would have any interest in this. My question also changed because I also don't want to claim what's going to happen on Tuesday, but I mean documents of integration I can't do any quite the other supporting the repeal of this little thing. I just wonder if they say so, justice is happy with that. I can't for a moment think what any other church group or grouping would be able to say to give us any further indications as to what we should do. I mean, there is another need to dispose of. So I will think about the number of briefings that we can deal with on a Friday morning. So I really would want to suggest that we rather try and see if we can get the Bible Society, the Methodist Church, and the Catholic Faith Church here for next Friday, instead of trying to get 8 or 9 people, which we're not be able to give proper attention to all of them. Then we have the principal interested parties, then we have them. And if there's consensus amongst everybody, then maybe they don't even need to extend a further invitation. Now I'm very, very scary ground by stating that I'm really not trying to close down things, but I mean we can also do overkill. And they are the people that should be relating to. So maybe we could just do that for next week and then see if we need to be further invitation. Or in terms of alternatively, you can always invite somebody that they do not regard it as a satisfaction to come. Just a courtesy invitation and say, otherwise, if you have any interest in this matter, if you have any interest in this matter, indicate that you want to come before us, or you can make a written submission or something like that. I'm just concerned that we might be doing other things. We've got a lot of other work actually.
You were also into secular, non-secular things, how others feel like if others are on the special group, then others are not on the special group. But we can amend it, we can still amend it, and we are saying we can invite, we can send a capacity letter so that you have an input to make. If you don't come, you can write to us and send us your input. So it's not like we are left to the human. It was not on the human, we want just to know how, what they will, their take would be on the fact that other Christians and Bible sites are on the station, and other religions are not on the
station. I don't want to follow up because I'm the one who said the station. And then I was very satisfied. If you want to say apostolic, as an African, I have the problem. Therefore, I said to expose the passage, for instance, of those so-called independent churches. I believe that it is referred to, as a fellowship basis, to those unregistered churches. And I say, as a letter of principle, the other thing that I say, this exercise, communicating something or doing help us in terms of taking also with justice, what they are talking about. Remember, he said there are certain things. How I did that, I said, there are certain things that we will not discuss as they relate to religion. And then we were very careful. But we said, out of this practice, there are issues of principles. I mean, if you have preempting the implications of principles, which are very fundamental, and which after this exercise we have discussed. I agree with you in principle, but we are not opening that gate, and I think that can be said. Just that I was insisting probably on the two dependencies, if there is, so that the issue of the SECP, we are members of parliament, we are constituency. We have nothing against the SAT, but I'm saying not inclusive of all. That's not the issue. To say, invite me.
So, Mama, you just told my assumption of saying to them that they are not going to pick up the list of the independent. So, that's what made them. I thought we were talking about the judicial and the Muslim judicial council and the Jewish Board of Justice. But this one can get some confusion. But also, it's an opportunity. So, we're not playing for people to come to their parliament. So, on another for them also, once in a while, to be invited to their parliament, or if they don't come, to write to their parliament and to the area to take them like them.
Thank you, sir. I'm not sure whether I'm defending myself. Because I think this would be to amend or to repeal anything. And I think we should not do it on a Friday special day. I think we should approve the amendment so that they have the because it refers to what you raised earlier about meaningful participation. Because we should not be seen to be excluding others. But I think on top of what we would do to communicate to them, maybe we can introduce the text so that even though that we are not aware that who wants to come or to make that decision to do that. But I think it will need a full day that we have to approach Parliament that this will be given a full day because it's, we should take it to the public hearing.
Let me just say those committee members, thank you so much for coming. Friday is next Friday, let's go here. Are you just speaking to your money? Because even though that Friday, it can only be a money. Because most of us have lived in the problem of participating in many committees. Myself, I'm talking to the and see how to do this. We can sometimes work together because I'm an annual member. Wednesday, we are in another committee that's so the whole list on my website are out. So they are participating, so are also very short days. So if you say a full day, I don't even want to start the meeting. I don't want to be able to be able to attend. I also need to use my discussion. So will you be subject to the Monday if you say in the full day, and if you will be Monday after the coming day? What do you think on just for the
I just wanted to make an emphasis that the Constitution enjoins the committee's
advisor.
I'm the legal advisor and I introduced myself to you some weeks ago.
I thought now the media is taking over now.
I wanted to make a point on that. First of all, just to sensitize, you have to use a Sabbath day if you're intending to invite a Sabbath day on a Friday. If you're intending to invite the Muslim Judicial Council. So just to sensitize you. And then the other one is just a point of emphasis that the Constitution enjoins us not to only invite the public, but to facilitate. So we must just be focused that it's broader than inviting. Facilitate public.
Can you
I want to link it to the Sabbath example that I gave. So if you're inviting, say, a Muslim Judicial Council on a Friday, on a Friday, you're not facilitating the attendance. That's just an example.
We all agree for Monday, but let's not be put into an embarrassing situation to say, but you were told that Monday is a constitutional day. So we don't need a face to that. I think we need to clarify whether we could have a meeting on Monday.
it means you will fly very late at that particular Friday, whom I'll be agreed to. Then at 12 o'clock, you're not going to send me notes, say I'm taking my cycle. So it means that Friday we'll agree that we will discuss from 9 until
3.
Thank you very much for your reminder as well.
Thank you, Chair. Mrs. Wright, Bali has spoken very well to me. I'm very keen that we keep our constituency there. I would support a one-off Monday, as long as it does not become a pattern of this and other committees. And there's always a tendency on some of my other committees to say, oh, Monday three. Monday is not true. Monday is constituency there. And maybe the legal advisor should assist us in putting that into the constitution.
If we do not have a meeting next Friday, in other words, we as a committee can turn next Friday and go into constituency afternoon, which is why I was in the morning, then the Monday is fine. So I'm happy with Monday the 5th of November to deal with all these issues. So no next Friday is going to be a problem.
Have you considered all these letters? I suggest, because last year I stuck my mind with a new week, and my day is prepared for 3 or 4 hours.
No, no, it's on Wednesday. On Wednesday.
So you're changing from Monday?
From, yeah, on Wednesday.
Yeah, because I was about to suggest that just one book for next Friday. Let's take our classes for home. So that we start at 8, and we end at 2. We take a 25-minute lunch in between, and then I'm sure we have given a bit of justice. So if we request, Lorna?
No, no, madam, I'm agreeing.
So then it's still a committee day, just that we are stretching our hours. Then it's start at 8. If I'm stuck in traffic, my Walisha will care. Because when I came in here, I mean, I was from an AS committee, but he's sucking. Now he's dead with sugar. So we do all this. Which is bad. My apologies for being told. We should have actually received you and received you.
Chair, I'm Ben Detroit from the Dr. Cultures from NPD. And I am here on your invitation. Thank you very much for that.
We
were telephonically right.
Say it, madam.
No? But I think in our case, I think we would like to help you with this specific case.
Well, it's
okay,
but our apologies for the because you are such a company, they are with the of your heart in the test. You are a company that I can play around.
I'm not saying that you want to win.
Okay. What is that?
Continue
to make things you will try to leave at me. I'm sure of the list will not use it. I'm also.
Can I just ask you, do you have a copy of the submission?
Yes.
Can I? Chair, I'm sure that this won't take very long. It's a two-page that I'd like to read to you. If everyone would like to follow, it's a presentation of the Dutchiform Church regarding the Dutchiform Church's union repeal law. And this representation. Presentation, the Dutchiform Church would like to express support for the repealing of the Act 23 of 1911 by supporting the repeal act on the following grounds. First, this act should be seen within its historical context, which is the year after the founding of the Union of South Africa in 1910. With this, the unification of the four British colonies in South Africa was possible in becoming a constitutional unit as a colony under the British flag. At that stage, the Federated Dutch Reformed Churches, NGK, the Noordic Synod, were divided according to the provincial borders of South Africa, which was the Cape, Transvaal, Free State, and Natal. This act resistantly empowered the four churches or synods to unite as one church in a Noordic Contrasta, while retaining the four provincial synods. This act at that stage also protected the rights of colored members of the Cape Synod to remain members of the United Church. Should they however move to another province, they had to become members of the Dutch Reformed Missions Church in Kasenica, which was established in 1881, and as such forfeit the membership of the Dutch Reformed Church. Should they return to the Cape, it would be possible for them to take up their membership in the DRC again. Because of the fact that the required 75% majority vote for unification from all the congregations represented by the local church council could not be attained in the next year in 1912, the unification was never realized in terms of this act of 1911. Only in 62 did these churches unite as one church. This was made possible by the acceptance of the Pilot Act on the Dutch Reformed Churches in South Africa, Act No. 22 of 61. This act repealed all the previous legislation and mentioned there. At the same time, Act 23 of 1911, the subject of the submission, was rejected as a base for church unity. This was done simply because the church unification process was then likely not anymore perceived as a uniting of four separate and independent churches, but instead the restoration of one church. We in Afrikaans it's called a kerkverband. It's very difficult to translate that in English. As one church. Since 1862, the four provincial members of the same church were organizing four provincial churches. And now it was actually a restoration of this unity. Thus, in October 62, the General Synod of the Dutch Reformed Churches was founded in Cape Town. When the Cape Synod, the Transvaal Synod, Free State Synod, the Natal Synod, as well as the Synod of the Church of Central Africa, which is the Rhodesia then in Zimbabwe now, and Namibia, the United States Church.
So I'll ask you to
Okay. The next point is then only one of you has to be 7. Mm-hmm. On grounds of this historical explanation alone, the existence of Act No. 23 of 1911 is irrelevant and subject to the
thing. Thank you very much. And I thank you once again on behalf of the committee for giving it to present yourself and to lighten up all the political background for the cause of the mission of our country that we must know. And let us present also in our minds and in the archive. Mm-hmm. So we thank you very much. We will, I promise we will read the rest of the document. Forgive us for our things. It's just that the house and the else is ready to but I want to say both, then we engage. Both of the
things.
No, it's not really.
Not at least the opposite, but I'm just not going to understand what you said. I have the privilege of addressing the whole document. And I don't want to keep us here for any time. But there is an objection in the rest of page 2, but only to part of the motivation for Mr. Cabot's proposal. I don't regard it as serious. I just don't want the members to read it and legislate and then say that the presenter didn't say that there's actually an objection. But it's just about proper naming and the unification in terms of the motivation for the proposal. I just want to bring your attention to that. I don't think it's clear.
Which paragraph number do you want?
Ten.
I will then ask the proposer paragraph 10 to allay the concerning arrangements. Proposal, please, sir.
Let's read it. Chairperson, although the Dutch Reformed Church does support the repeal of this Act, we are ever considered objectives of the proposed legislation formulated indeed objectives of the proposed legislation completely inappropriate. This document clearly states that the intention of the repealing of this Act is to remove all obstacles in the process of the unification process now and between those churches that mentioned there. And then we say, please note that the names of the churches in this document are not only incorrect, but also incomplete. The unification is actually between 4 churches, not 3, and then we state the names there. And then in the following points, we just like to make clear what our objection is. Would you like me to read that to you, Chair? Mm-hmm. The objections of this, the objection of the specific motivation of this document is on the following grounds. The Act of 1911 has got nothing to do with the current process of unification of the Dutch Reformed Churches with the other churches. 14, the Dutch Reformed Church herewith does not deny that Act 23 of 11, clause 9, do indeed discriminate against current members of the Cape Synod. It should, however, be noted that this Act refers to the members of the DRC and not members of any of the other CR churches, mission churches, as it was called. And then 15, the further argument that the unification of these 3 churches is long overdue and all efforts must be made to assist in this process is, as such, thus irrelevant.
I
want
to
talk
about this. We know the objections. We normally give the sponsor of the legislation a second bite or a third bite. Because we are meeting next week, we draw his attention to the issues we are raising and we'll engage them next week. And he will go and prepare a fact and represent before the committee in response to the objections that you are raising. Next week, the proposer will speak to the objections. But I want to underpin the fact that you do not, if you support the proposal, then the strongest point that I want to make. You take part that way, over to place, but you do the same.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start off by saying that I received these bills the day before yesterday. So please just accept that the views that I express will be preeminent of you at this stage. And I would like to start off by saying that we accept as a department and obviously also as a government that there are many acts that have been acted or before 1994 that are in conflict with our Bill of Rights and Constitution. And And it was on that basis then that the cabinet approved that the South African Law Reform Commission embarked on a project to identify all these acts. That is, I'm referring here to the acts from 1910 to 1994, and then to identify all the provisions, all the acts that are what we call redundant, obsolete, or inconsistent with the equality clause of the Constitution. So I have started this process, and I think it's mentioned that there are 2,800 acts on our statute that need to be scrutinized to see whether they comply with the Constitution, whether they are redundant or obsolete. What we've also done at the state, and I mentioned this, that I'm in charge also of the Secretariat of the Law Reform Commission. What we have also done is an exercise to determine what departments are responsible for these acts. In other words, what the departments that administer these 2,800 acts. The idea then being is in consultation with them to investigate and to scrutinize these acts to see, to look at constitutionality. Unfortunately, the acts that are mentioned in the private member bills have not been accepted by any of these departments. There's not one department that accepts responsibility for the administration of these four acts that are suggested to be repealed. I understand that the acts are listed under arts and culture, but they also indicated that they don't administer these. Probably the reason for that is that the acts were introduced into Parliament by the then Prime Minister, which was not done by the particular department. Chair, that is where we stand with this provision with this investigation. I've looked at the acts, and quite clearly some of them contain provisions that are in conflict with the policy rules of the Constitution. Not all of them, but some of them do contain provisions of that nature. The problem that we just have at this moment to indicate to you that we will support the amendment is that these acts do not only regulate internal procedures of the institutions created in terms of the act, they also deal with rights to ownership, they also deal with the possession and administration of property, and they also establish pension funds, some of them, not all of them. So our view is clear that we will have to look very carefully at these acts. I'm not sure whether this is a way that we seem to just look at this. And our view is that there is a strong possibility that when we repeal these acts, we will have to make provision for transitional arrangements. That is a strong possibility to make sure that in regard to the vesting of property and in regard to pension schemes there where they are created. So we would firstly like to take care of that. Perhaps there are two options, and that would be our recommendation. Firstly, to leave it to the Law Commission to do that. And that would probably be a long process, and I can see the chair shaking their head, because that would probably be too long. Secondly, to make a recommendation in regard. Secondly, Chair, for us and for me to speak to the researchers at the Law Commission to see whether they can look at these acts very urgently on an urgent basis, and then to make recommendations to you in regard to the possibility of transitional arrangements, and we will do so on your instruction. And we will try to do that as soon as possible. We will also consult them with the society or structures created in terms of these acts to find out whether they are in agreement that there should possibly be a transitional arrangement. And perhaps the law advisor from Parliament and also advisor from this. So the preliminary view is that yes, they can be repealed, but we must just seriously consider the necessity of, in the repeal act, to provide for a transitional arrangement as far as vested rights are concerned.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, there's also purpose, sorry, just the last word. There are also provisions in these acts dealing with how you then deal with claims instituted against these countries. For instance, there might be a claim instituted, being instituted, or that has been instituted against one of these structures, and you will possibly have to look at making provision or additional arrangements as far as that is concerned. Thank you.
Agreed.
separate them, you're not you're responsible for this. I think the problem also lies in we can forgive them. When they were told to the person, they were sent the things obviously, so but we understand that. But now that they have all the documents and they know about it, we request that they do that they look at the difficulty and sensitize us of the possible decaps that we need today. I saw another hand, so that I would be quite pleased to Mr. Stewart.
Madam Chair, I've been practically covered by you in such a way that I think that we've been to the same corporate before. But be it as it may, the mere fact that with the Muslim group, the Catholics, whoever it would be, your evangelical church, having their own legislation and probably working from a basic constitution or from that particular perspective, I would suggest to Mr. Destoy that particularly through this process, that in the meantime, that for instance their property rights, all those particular aspects, that they look at that and probably go back and looking at internal arrangements in terms of how to structure that particular position. Because I think that is where the solution will be, because surely anyone can, by forming an organization or a company or whichever it would be, do that particular aspect as an organization itself.
They are coming in, so I'm going to take Mr. Dufour and Mr. Rudman, and then to help Mr. Rudman, you also have become better. Can I ask you, to liaise with the DVD? And I let the other people who cannot make it today for them to check if their decisions apply to them also. The sole issue that is the department finding. I don't want to end them, but so that the letter that goes out fully prepares them so that they might not come here and then I'll tell you from Mr. Story and Mr. Rutman, when you close.
Thank you, Chair. I think we are being this specific paper unjusted because of the time constraints we have here now. If you read through this, you would see that, for instance, if I can point your attention to point four, because of the fact that the required 75% majority vote of units for unification then could not be attained in that year, the unification was never realized in terms of this Act. So this Act was never actually implemented in any way. And then in 62, the unification of these churches did take place, and it was in terms of a new act and also a repealing of all previous acts, which is the next point that we're stating again. But I appreciate judiciary being cautious that we shouldn't run into some sort of trouble. And it's appreciated, really. It's not, I'm not just negative about the remarks there. But as far as we are concerned, in terms of pension funds and whatever, we don't think, let me put it positive. We are sure that there's nothing that needs interim kind of measures.
And
properly.
Yes. I'm very interested in it. Yes. Strongly on that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Rutman?
To respond to your question about other churches, I'm not sure, they might have been established in terms of a contract or an agreement or articles of association and divorce. So, and those contracts or agreements will probably also contain provisions in relation to property and divorce. I only looked at four acts, and in fact, it's only four acts, really. We have appealed six acts, but it's only four acts, two being amendments to the original act. And I looked at all four acts, and I have all the provisions related to property. I have them all in front of me. I've gone through it. The only indication that I gave is I just did not have enough time to really consider the consequences of repealing these acts. And my assistance to you is to advise you. It will be problematic if these acts are repealed And subsequently we learned that there are problems. That is the reason and I indicated to you that we will, in the short time available to us, which is only about 2 weeks, we will consider these issues, and I will also contact the members of Parliament if they want to speak to me about this. And I will instruct the Secretariat of the Law Commission to quickly look at this and to advise me, and for me then to advise you. I will also take it up with my minister, and, you know, just to communicate to her what my views are on this issue.
In closing, can I ask you something because
you're being excited? No, I need to talk to you. But I have a really good reason.
Now, if you agree, I was going to suggest that myself, the proposal on ladies' listening of the school, on Tuesday, we sit and do some preparation for Friday week. So that if you would, that would be ideal. So that when we meet on Tuesday, we have done a lot of groundwork on the property and whatever things. And, you know, so that they don't take a lot of my time on Friday. And if it's successful, then we can start to do it. I was too busy for me, and you were right, you were not sure. just that I have a little one, I'm not sure if it's an absolute meeting or if it's a morning meeting, so it's half a day, so I'm going to check. I'll tell you today, which part of Tuesday is this. Are you engaged?
Yes, I'm
still
engaged,
but I mean, if I know it's in the morning, I'll let you know in the next 2 hours. The police. Thank you very much. Stop and you can see one of the models so that when you are listening now, it will be because of my I'll see you later again on Friday. But if there's anything between now and Friday, that any member of the committee wants to do for
Friday, next week.
Thank you.
Next tomorrow.
And this will be seated tomorrow. Because tomorrow is
very cool. Let's try.